Anyway, we're going to continue on. This is actually the last Sunday I'm going to be talking about the new life, although I might mention it again in November to kind of get us going into what we're going to be looking at in November. Just to give you a heads up, November is going to be a month that is dedicated to Thanksgiving to our Lord. One holiday, one Sunday is not enough to be doing that. We're going to look at the entire month. We are also going to ask for people to be thinking about what they are thankful for and to share that with us. You know, this is supposed to be, you know, if we go back to what the early church was like, and obviously none of us were there. Even the oldest of us here can't remember those days. But, you know, in the early church, I really gathered that they came together to share about what God has done with them and to worship and to celebrate and, of course, to learn from God's Word. And, you know, and I think it, somehow we've gotten to this place to where, you know, our services are basically a guy gets up and talks to you for about anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes and then you go shake hands and go home, you know. And while it's great to hear one guy talk all the time, and we do talk about God's Word, so that is important, it's also good to hear God's people talk from time to time and to share with us what God is doing in their life and what God has done in their life and how they are blessed. And it doesn't have to be anything great or grand. And there might be a few of you I might tag to come up here and do it from the, well, not maybe up here, but from the front here. But generally, I'm just going to have, during the month of November, each Sunday, there's going to be a period of time for sharing what God is doing. And I just want you to remind you that because next week, Steve is going to be, Pastor Steve is going to be sharing. And then the Sunday after that is Phil Altmeyer. And so I just kind of want to give you that heads up that that's what's going to be happening in November. So it's just hard for me to believe we're talking about November. This is the middle of October, October 15th. And wow, it's just the month is flying by. Actually, as I stop to think about it, my life is flying by. You know, for you young people, and you know, it seems like life is going so slow, especially when you're in school, you know. Enjoy that, because when you get our age, you don't have time. It doesn't go slow. It goes fast, you know. I mean, it's just great that we have a light at the end of the tunnel to look at, and that is our life with the Lord. And we want to talk about, again, our new life in God. And today I don't necessarily have a passage of Scripture that I'm coming out of. I'm kind of doing something that is sort of a cardinal sin for pastors, but I'm doing sort of a topical sermon today, and I don't normally do that. But trust me, it's all out of God's Word. It is, even though I don't have one particular Scripture that I'm going to look at. But I'm going to deal with passages of Scripture that talk about the new life and give us some things that are really good to know about the new life. Maybe things we know, but things that we need to rethink again and to really be happy for. And of course, the new life, for those of you who haven't been here, the new life is the life we have in Jesus Christ. It's the life that we have when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and His Holy Spirit comes to live in us, then it says in the Bible that we are a new creation, that we have a new life. And that's what we've been talking about, because I don't think we enjoy the new life near as much as we should. I think God meant for us to enjoy the new life, because He certainly promises to help us in our new life and to give us things in our new life. And so today we're just going to look at some of the things about the new life that maybe, again, we have just sort of taken for granted. And the first thing that I would like to say is the new life is an eternal life. It isn't going to end. It It isn't going to end. If we go to John 3:16, I know a passage of scripture you probably do not need to go through or go to, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We have a life that is not going to end. Now, I just think of so many things in our life that are temporary. So many things in our life that are temporary. Of course, just about everything that we have that is physical, that we own that is physical, is temporary. You know, if you bought a new car last year, is it a new car this year? No, it's not a new car this year. It's a year old car, and if you have enough years, that car is going to fail you. Now, I hate talking about car failures, because we just had so many of them in our family this year. My daughter has had the majority of them, and bless her heart, she survived it. Bless her heart, I survived it. So anyway, but you know, things wore off. I mean, if you buy a new car, does the dealership ever say, you know, and this car is going to last you forever? As long as you live, this car is going to take care of you. Well, we know that's not true. We know that's not true, unless maybe you park it in a garage and never drive it. But it isn't going to. It's going to fall apart. It's going to rust. It's going to break down. And eventually it's going to end in a junkyard. But not the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. It is eternal. Very few things in the world are eternal. Even this world is not going to last forever. It's going to be destroyed, but then there's going to be a new one made, and it will last forever. In Romans 6:23, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Life that is never going to end. In John 6:40, Jesus says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Now, I picked that passage of scripture because there's so many passages that talk about eternal life, and it's in here. And I will raise him up on the last day, because there might be some people who are saying, "Now, wait a second. You know, there aren't believers around us who are 200, 300, 400 years old." You know, there might be believers who act that old, but there aren't any who are actually that old. So what do you mean the new life is an eternal life? I don't see Christians, you know, living forever. What are we talking about here? And, you know, yeah, physically, we are not going to live forever. This body of mine is decaying more rapidly than I would like it to, but it is decaying. It is not as good as it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's not as good. And you know what? It can never be as good as it was when I was 25 or 30. Because it's in a process of decay. And I don't care how healthy any of you are, and how much you work out, and how hard you work at it, and how much you watch your food, eventually your body is going to give out on you. Do any of you ever remember a guy named Jack Belaine? Only the older ones are going to say, you know, what is a Jack Belaine? You know, but he was, back when I was a kid, I mean, I was really a kid, this guy had an exercise program. He was probably, you know, cutting edge in those days and stuff. I mean, that guy was, he had muscles, you know, I mean, and stuff like that. I saw Jack Belaine, I don't know, it might have been 4 or 5 years ago. He looked good. Except, you know, his muscles weren't as much up here as they were kind of hitting down here. And, you know, he was kind of a handsome-looking dude, and he still is by maybe old people's standards. You know, but I just kind of like, here's a guy that really worked out. A lot of people followed him and did what he did and exercised like he did. And yeah, he really was a quite a physical specimen. But it's kind of like, wow, I would like to see a then and then picture. And it's not that he stopped working. It's not that he stopped exercising. He kept it up. He still, well, I don't even know if he's alive anymore, but he, at that time, was still an advocate for being healthy because he was advertising a juicer. You know what a juicer is you throw everything in there, and it juices it and takes all the bad stuff out, and it gives you this juice that tastes horrid, but it's good for you, you know? I mean, you can throw your old tennis shoes in there. It's going to make good stuff out of it. You know, but our bodies do fail us. Our bodies do fail us. And this was a concern for the church back in the early days. And so Paul wrote this letter to the church of Thessalonica. And he writes this because they were concerned. It's like, wait a second, you gave us eternal life and our friends are dying. And so he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Yes, physically our bodies are going to decay, and if we live long enough, we're going to be put into the ground. But our soul is not going to die, and that's what our spirit is not going to die. That's the eternal life part of it. And the good part of it is once we lay this body down, God is going to give us a new one. And it's not going to have any problems. It's not going to decay. It's not going to, you know, the muscles that are up here are going to stay up here. They're not going to drop down and kind of be like a, you know, not even go there. But it's not going to happen because we're going to have new bodies. But see, we might die. So don't be confused about seeing believers die, because the eternal life is for our spirit. And when we die physically, then we will be raised with Christ. As Christ was raised, we will be raised, and we will have a new body. And that body and our spirit will live forever and ever. Because that's what the eternal life, the new life, is all about. It's not going to end. And that's something that you really can't say about anything that is going on in this world today, except maybe if you want to look at the wars and stuff, it doesn't seem like they want to ever end. But it's not going to end. And one little thing I want to say, we'll put in there about this too, because there's a question about this. Well, it's not going to end. Can we lose it? Can we lose our everlasting life, our eternal life? Can we lose our salvation? I am one who firmly believes, and I think the Bible teaches, I believe the Bible teaches this, that if you truly confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved forever. You cannot lose that. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. You may sin from time to time. Hopefully you won't desire to sin, but you may sin from time to time. But he promises forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus says in John 10, 27 and 28. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hands. No one can snatch them out of my hands. And then if you go to Romans, Paul writes it, puts it this way, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. He says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of my hands. Paul says, I am convinced that there is nothing that is going to separate us from the love of God. So this new life is an eternal life, and it will not end, and it cannot be taken away from us. The next thing about the eternal life that, this new life that I'm going to talk about, and the Bible says, it is an abundant life. It is an abundant life, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Now, there's a lot of discussion today on what does abundant life mean? It really means you have life to the full. That you have everything that you need in life. Now, again, need and wants. Separate those, because what I want and what I need are two very different things a lot of the time. Now, as I'm getting older, they're growing closer together. And I think it should be. I realize that what I want is more of what I need for my life, and God is willing to provide that for me. So what is an abundant life? Does it mean that believers are going to be rich beyond compare? Well, in a way, yes. But we're not talking materially. We're not talking materially. You know, there are some people who take this and say, see, God wants me to be rich. God wants me to be wealthy. God wants me to have everything I want. And the only reason I don't have it is because I haven't asked for it yet. But, you know, and I thought about it, and I thought, so I see in the scriptures, it's like, well, if that's the case, then evidently the apostles did not have abundant lives. Because they had nothing. They had nothing. Paul, when he went on a mission trip, oftentimes stopped to work so that he could pay for his mission trip, so he wouldn't be a burden on people who were coming. He had nothing. Peter, John, they had nothing. John spent a lot of his adult years in prison. They had nothing, so did they not experience the abundant life? Did they not know life to the full? Well, I think they did. Because I really think that David had the greatest idea of what the abundant life is. King David, back in the Old Testament. And he wrote a psalm that describes to me the abundant life. And it's one we use. You're probably going to hear it this Wednesday if you come to Doc's funeral. It's a 23rd psalm because this, to me, is what an abundant life is. Not riches, not cars, houses, land, wealth, being able to travel, being able to... This is abundant life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow. That's great. I love that. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, take that away from being a sheep and say, I'm a person, I'm not a sheep. And it's like, I don't know, to me it's like, he makes me lay down in the most comfortable bed I have ever laid in. You know, he provides that for me. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yes, as Christians in our new life, we are going to face difficult times. We are going to face very difficult times. For Bob and Doug Harris, they're facing a difficult time right now because they've lost their mother. You know, but are they still have the abundant life? Well, yes, they do. Because it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is with me in every circumstance. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. I'm not talking about wealth here. None of this is talking about wealth. It's talking about God taking care of his beloved. That's the abundant life. And it goes on and it says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that this is an excellent picture of the abundant life that we are promised. And that is a life that does not start after we die and we are in heaven. That's not when it starts. It starts right now. At the moment that you accept Jesus Christ, you have the eternal life. You have the abundant life. It starts now. It's not in the present. I mean, in the future. It's in the present. It's now that it starts. The new life is a life of renewal. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing. I just reading through this, and especially the Colossians passage of Scripture here, and it's like, it's a life of renewal. Ah, wow. Now, if we go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed in the true image to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we are being renewed constantly, but not by our own strength, not by our own help, not by our own exercise. We are being renewed in our hearts, in our souls, by God himself. And he's going to renew us until the time that we are like his son. Now again, not that we are going to be gods. We are not going to be gods. There's one God. And I'm not it. And you're not it. There's one God. He lives in heaven. His spirit is in our soul. His son died for his son. You know, that's just how we break it down, the Trinity. His son died for our sins. But he's God and we're never going to be. But it does talk about the new life is a life of renewal, and we are constantly being renewed through in our hearts and in our minds until the place that we will be like Jesus. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So how does this renewal happen? It's always a good question. You know, pastors are just great about talking about things, but they don't tell you how it happens. They don't tell you how it works. Well, I think renewal comes from prayer. First of all, you know, and it's interesting because how does it happen? It seems like it always comes down to doing the basics, doesn't it? Doesn't it always seem to come down to doing the basics? Prayer. Study of God's Word. The worship of God. When we do these things, when we apply these things to our lives, God renews us. You know, I mean, this is just going to... How many times have you been down and you read God's Word and what happens? All of a sudden, you aren't down anymore. In fact, you realize that what you were down about is really kind of, you know, silly that you were down about that. Or you may not be able to remember why you were down. Because through the power of God's Holy Spirit, through the power of His Word, through the power of God, through prayer in our lives, we live a life of renewal. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, we've talked about that, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Yes, my body is failing me, but my spirit is not. My spirit is rejoicing more now than it has when my body was good. But it's not me. It's the Lord working through me in this new life. It's having the Holy Spirit in my heart. It's having God's Word in my heart and being actively studying and praying to God. So the new life is a life of renewal. And then finally, I just want to end with this, and just needs to be said again. The new life is for all who believe. It's not for certain people. It's not for Billy Graham because he really is a powerful man. It's not for Martin Luther. Just for Martin Luther. It's for all who believe. The abundant life is for every one of us who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:11. We go on, it says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. You know, one of the things that I think is a blessing, it isn't as strong here, I know it exists, but you know, when you hear about the old country back there and stuff, and even in the old days when the Bible was written, people were on certain levels. You had your kind of elite people. They were the rulers. They were the privileged. Then you had kind of the peons, you know, just the people that were kind of, we might call these middle class. Anyway, but the people who really didn't have any power or ability, and those are the ones that really provided the services. You know, they worked, they baked, they provided, they farmed, they did this kind of stuff. So that the upper class could live. So there was a very big class distinction in the old days. And some may say, well, it is here, it's just not spoken like it is. But there is, and what Paul is saying in this letter that he's written is, no more. No more. Now, it doesn't say that in the Christian life that all of a sudden if you were very rich, you weren't rich anymore, and if you were poor, you were rich, or if you're rich, you were poor, or if you're middle class, you just plain stay there, because middle class people just plain stay there, and they can't move up, but they can move down. It's not talking really about a change in our life here. The poor were still poor, the middle class were still middle class, the rich were still rich. But this new life is available to everyone. Didn't make any difference whether you were privileged or whether you were the lowest of lows. The new life is available to you. The key is to all who believe. To all who believe. Romans 10 means here. Romans 10, 12 to 13. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, this is this all-inclusive thing. The new life is for everyone. The question is, will they take it? Will they take it? It's available. But will they accept Jesus Christ and live in the new life? And then finally, Galatians 3:28, Paul writes again, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave or free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, there's the distinction that we do hear a lot about today. Men, women. You know, and I'm not going to go into all the political ramifications of that, but what this says is, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, you all have the same access to the new life. To the new life. Again, it may not change your standing in the world. It may not change your standing in society. but you have the new life. And it is an eternal life, it is an abundant life, it is a life of renewal, and it is yours. And it is for all who believe. There are no distinctions. There are no people who say, you can't be a Christian. Now the Jews were really good at saying, we are Jews, you are not. Therefore, we are privileged, you are not. We are saved, you are not. That was kind of the Jews' mindset, and Paul is just smashing that to pieces. No wonder the Jews wanted to get rid of Paul. And the Romans wanted to get rid of Paul. And just about everyone who had a world viewpoint wanted to get rid of Paul. Because he was preaching a heavenly viewpoint. And you know, it's a good one. And the new life, which is eternal, which is abundant, which renews us, is for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this new life that you give to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, may we truly understand the new life. And Father, may we live the new life to the fullest. Lord, it is a great life. It's a life that is never going to end. Lord, we oftentimes say this is too good to last. But Lord, in the new life, it's not too good to last, but it's going to last forever. Thank you for giving us, all of us who believe, a new life in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.